What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, these NBA playoffs have just got crazy, y'all. I did not expect these conference finals matchups that we have. But let's first get into how we got there. Beginning with the Indiana Pacers versus the New York Knicks matchup on Game 6. The Indiana Pacers, they just absolutely dominated this game. They took complete control of the game and really just ran away with it. Got the win 116-103. Pascal Siakam had a huge game, 25.7 rebounds and 5 assists. But it was just straight domination by the Indiana Pacers. So then they were taking that shit to a Game 7 back in New York City. And what would happen in this game? The New York Knicks wouldn't even show up. It looked like, you know, it was finally what was going to happen, what we all expected to happen, because the Knicks have pretty much had to overcome the injuries all season long. That's been their theme. They've been a great team for the most part, but the injuries have killed them, and at some point it was going to come to a blow, and it did in this game, and boy, did it. So first of all, let's talk about all the injuries they had beforehand. Coming into this game, the players they weren't having in the game. But then you have OG Anunoby. He tried his best to come out and play in this game. Wasn't happening. Only played like four and a half minutes of the game. Had to sit the rest of it out. But then, of course, the worst part of it for them was Jalen Brunson. Breaks his hand and unfortunately misses the rest of the game as well. After that happened, I think that was in the second quarter, third quarter. It was relatively early in the game, and then once that happened, it was just all downhill from there. But even before he broke his hand, the Indiana Pacers were not scared in this moment in one way, shape, or form. You could tell that the Pacers were winning this game from the first quarter. They were dominating. They did not care. They were playing great defense. They were making it a really difficult time for Brunson, and then he breaks his hand, and then it just becomes, what the hell are we going to – who's going to score for us? And then the Pacers just took off. Halliburton had 26 points. Pascal Siakam had 20 points. Nembhard had 20 points. I mean, it was really just an all-around great game, team game from the Indiana Pacers. They just had a great game, and they got the win, 130-109, sending the New York Knicks home. And they, the Indiana Pacers, who would have thought, are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals to face the Boston Celtics. Then we had a Game 6 between the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, which was crazy. It was back and forth, all the way until the final buzzer hit. And Dallas walked away with the win, 117-116. Luka had one of the biggest games of his life, had a triple-double, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. And Kyrie, I told you, Kyrie had to step up, and he stepped up in the Game 6 closeout game. He dropped 22 points, but it was a crazy sequence of events. It was close the whole way through, and then the last like 4 minutes of the game, it was back and forth and back and forth, literally until the last seconds of the game. So it was an epic battle, but the Dallas Mavericks have now moved on to the Western Conference Finals. And then we had us a Game 7 last night between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets, and what a crazy turn of events that happened in this game. So it looked like Denver was just running away with this game in the first half. They had a 20-point lead heading into halftime, and they come out in the third quarter and just are ice cold. Jokic, he was so frustrated all night because he was getting double-teamed, and anytime he'd try and pass the ball out to somebody, they'd miss the shot or they'd miss the pass. It was just a bad night for anybody other than Jokic on the Denver Nuggets squad last night. But Minnesota turned it around. Anthony Edwards didn't even have that great of a game. He was ice cold in the first half. He had like 4 points, I think, headed into the third quarter. So it was a bad game from him. But Karl Anthony Towns did not have a bad game. He was huge. He was huge in the paint. He was huge on the boards. He was knocking down shots that needed to be knocked down. He had 23 points and 12 rebounds on the night. And the Minnesota Timberwolves got the huge Game 7 win over the defending champs in their home, 98-90. And it was just a crazy turn of events, but that is what you want for a Game 7. It goes from Denver is straight up dominating to just ice cold in the second half, and Minnesota just was able to take advantage and walk away with a huge, huge win. So let's talk about the conference finals. Let's begin with the Eastern Conference Finals, which start on Tuesday night. Indiana Pacers at the Boston Celtics. The Celtics have pretty much annihilated Indiana all season long. I mean, they've blown them out. So while Indiana has had a good playoff run, and I do expect them to make this a good series, I still lean more towards Boston in this one, simply because they are the better team. Now, I will say, I've been hesitant with Boston all season because they do this thing where they dominate, and then they have this huge weakness that you look at and you're like, if you go up against the wrong-ass team and they catch you on the wrong-ass night, your ass is going to lose. And that happened in the Cavaliers series. If the Cavaliers would have played a better level of basketball, been a little bit more healthy, they might be here in the Eastern Conference Finals because Boston was not convincing at all. And so they really need to not overlook the Indiana Pacers in this matchup. I do think the Pacers are going to make it a good battle. I would not be shocked to see Indiana maybe steal game one, or at least one of the first two games in Boston, because they don't play scared at all. They don't care who they play, but Boston is overall the better team. And that is the only reason why I'm taking Boston in six games in this one. But I do think Indiana is going to make it a really difficult time for them. It's not going to be easy, but I wouldn't be shocked if Indiana actually takes game one, or at least one of the first two games. But I'm kind of leaning towards game one. I just kind of feel like, you know, Boston's been sitting pretty right now, just waiting for their next opponent. They haven't played it what feels like forever, especially compared to the rest of the conference finals of teams. But I just kind of look at that and think, well, maybe they'll fall back just a bit, but I still expect Boston to take that series. Then in the Western Conference Finals matchup that begins Wednesday night, we have the Dallas Mavericks at the Minnesota Timberwolves. And who would have thought that was the matchup that we were going to get, is the Mavericks versus the Timberwolves. I'm expecting this to be an exciting matchup. That's for sure. But I just think overall, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they are the better team. They have the deeper roster. They do have a star player who could go toe-to-toe with Luka, and that is Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is that dude. He is a beast, and he is a killer. And he's the real deal. And then you also have Karl Anthony Towns. He has stepped it up this entire playoff run. And then you also have Gobert, the defensive player of the year, and he is playing well and solid in these playoffs also. So I look at the Timberwolves, and they just look like they have way too much talent. I kind of feel like they're going to overpower the Mavericks in certain games of the series, but I do think the Mavericks are going to make this a good series, an interesting series, but I think they're going to have to rely too much on Luka, whereas the Timberwolves, they don't have to rely on Anthony Edwards. Yes, he needs to be good, and he needs to play well, but if he has a bad game like last night, it doesn't matter because there's a Karl Anthony Towns to step up and take over for him. So I do have the Timberwolves winning the Western Conference Finals in seven games. So my NBA Finals matchup is the Boston Celtics versus the Timberwolves at this point. So how crazy is that? But the Timberwolves, they are a deep team. They are a talented team. And I would not be shocked to see that team hoisting up the trophy when it's all said and done. All right, moving on to baseball and the Top 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. Not a lot of changes. There really aren't many changes. Just a shuffling of some teams, but for the most part, it's the same teams we've been discussing the last couple of weeks. Beginning with number one, of course, still the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 34-14. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the New York Mets, and then they also swept the Washington Nationals. But they are just crushing it. They are first right now in the league in runs with 256 runs, and they're also second in batting average in the league, leading the league, averaging 258 batting average. So they just are really getting it going offensively. Then you have Ranger Suarez. He hasn't lost a game yet. He has won 8 straight starts. And it's not just him. You know, you got Nola. He's playing well. And you got Wheeler also. And this team is just stacked from top to bottom. And I really don't know what's going to stop them. And even though the number two team that I have ranked behind the Phillies is surging hard, and I almost put them at number one, I was like, I cannot disrespect the Phillies like that. Phillies are too good. I expect the Phillies to be around all season long, and I expect us to be talking about them for the rest of the year, unless something drastic happens. But even if so, I think they're so deep that it doesn't really matter at this point. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the surging New York Yankees. Overall record of 33-15. They are currently on a 7-game winning streak, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept both the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. And really, they are the hottest team right now. They are killing it offensively. Soto and Judge are just knocking them out of the park. Judge is, y'all had worries about him a couple weeks ago. I didn't. He has 13 home runs on the season, so worry about that, pitchers. But offensively, Yankees are getting really, really hot. But the starting pitching is where it's at for the New York Yankees. And it feels like I'm talking about a new starting pitcher every single week. We got Gill now. This guy has had such an amazing season so far. He's got 5 wins with a 2.39 ERA and 62 strikeouts. Then you have Clark Schmidt, who's also come out of nowhere with 5 wins, a 2.49 ERA and 55 strikeouts. And these are not even Cole. We have not even got Cole back into this starting lineup yet. And he's probably going to make an appearance here in about a month or so. So they're holding it down while he's gone. So the Yankees, they are just getting hot. They're looking really good. And look out for Aaron Judge, because he's also starting to get hot. And that's not shocking that the Yankees are now on a winning streak now that Judge has got hot as well. And then also you got Stanton, who hasn't suffered a major injury yet. So he's playing well also. So this Yankees team, solid. But I wasn't putting them at one. It really was difficult for me not to, because that 7-game winning streak. But I was like, no. Phillies, much more consistent right now. Much more consistent. So they got to stay at number one. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the team I had no issues putting the Yankees above, the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 32-17. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against my San Francisco Giants and the Cincinnati Reds. And really, they are just getting a shit ton of production out of Shohei Ohtani. He has not lost a step at all. He is batting a .353 with 13 home runs on the season, tied with Aaron Judge. And 33 RBI as well on the season. And then you have their other major pickup at the starting position, starting pitcher's position, Tyler Glasnow. He's got 6 wins with a 2.90 ERA and 81 strikeouts. He has been money from start to finish. He's just as hot as Ranger Suarez is right now. He doesn't have the 8 wins, but who the fuck cares? He's got the 81 strikeouts and he plays with the Dodgers. So I wouldn't be shocked if I see those two teams playing each other in the playoffs later on in the year. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Baltimore Orioles, overall record of 29-15. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Toronto Blue Jays and the Seattle Mariners. And Gunnar Henderson, they are getting a lot of production out of this guy. He's batting a .270 with 15 home runs, 31 RBI, but also defensively, he has been making the plays. This guy is really carrying this team. And which says a lot, because they just have so much going on there. But Gunnar Henderson, he's definitely the dude, and just having a great year and seems to be getting better as the season progresses on. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 30-17. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Texas Rangers and the Minnesota Twins. And they're just getting a lot of offensive production. You've got Jimenez, who's getting really hot as of late. He's batting a .277 with 27 RBI. And then, of course, you've got Josh Naylor, who I mistook him for his brother a couple weeks ago. I was talking about Josh Naylor, and I accidentally said Bo Naylor. I mean, I guess that's what's going to happen when you have the two brothers on the same team. But I was talking about Josh a couple weeks ago and accidentally said Bo. Even though Bo is serving a purpose, he ain't Josh. Josh is having a fantastic year so far with 12 home runs and 34 RBI on the season. And he's really just been a huge source of offense for the Guardians. And I mean, really, the team's pretty much revolving around him at this point. But Jimenez, he's also just having a solid year, been getting hotter and hotter as the last couple of weeks have wore on. So, but the Guardians, while there's a lot of questions about them because of all the injuries that they've had, especially at the starting pitching position, this team, it doesn't matter. They keep losing their big guys, including guys like Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber. They still keep it moving, and here they still are at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings. It's pretty shocking that they're still able to overcome all these crazy injuries and still play at this high level. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 27-19. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates and lost the series to the Houston Astros. And they're getting a great, great pitching out of Elvis Peguero this season. He's got 4 wins on the year, and he's just been really, really solid for them when he started. But it's been really all about the catcher, Contreras. He is on fire. I mean, he's leading the league in batting average with a 341 batting average, 7 home runs and 37 RBI, and just having a phenomenal year offensively, defensively as well, of course. But offensively, he is just ringing them in. And, you know, the Brewers have still been kind of struggling since the Yelich injury. But overall, they've still been able to maintain and still been able to get it done offensively and with their pitching. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Kansas City Royals, overall record of 29-19. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Seattle Mariners, but won a series over the Oakland A's. And they are getting some production out of Seth Lugo at the starting pitching position. He's got 7 wins on the season with a 1.79 ERA and 64 strikeouts. He is just pitching lights out every time he steps into onto the field. This Kansas City Royals team just plays at such a high level. And then you have catcher Salvador Perez, who's having a phenomenal year, and he's the old veteran who's supposed to be falling off, and it's like, no, he's batting a .337, which is also right behind Contreras in leading the league in batting average. So you got 2 catchers, but Perez is old as fuck. But he's still playing great with a .337 batting average, 8 home runs, and 37 RBI. And the Kansas City Royals are probably the biggest surprise of the season so far, because I really did not expect them to be a legit team at all. I didn't expect them to even be a competitive team, let alone a team I discuss in my top 10 at any point in time during the season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 26-17. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, and they really are struggling for the most part this season. This past week, they got the series over the Chicago Cubs, but lost one to the San Diego Padres. And really, if it wasn't for Marcell Ozuna, Chris Sale, and Ozzie Albies, there really isn't much to discuss about the Atlanta Braves. They are just so Jekyll and Hyde as of late. They really haven't been able to get going on a consistent winning streak. They get going, but then they fall back like they did this week. And they fall back against really good teams, and then sometimes even terrible teams are playing them really well. So it kind of feels like the Braves are really going through it, but I still kind of expect them to find their way at some point. But lucky for them, Ozuna and Sale and Albies still having great seasons and keeping them above water right now. But Atlanta Braves looking pretty disappointing to start the season. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 25-24. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Colorado Rockies, but took the series over the Atlanta Braves. They are just getting great pitching from their starting pitching with Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, and Joe Musgrove. These guys are pitching lights out, at least as of late. And then offensively, Profar and Cronenworth and Tatis are getting the job done. So the Padres are getting it done in many ways. They've been able to beat some good teams like the Braves and the Dodgers, but then again, they lose to the Colorado Rockies. And yes, the Rockies are a division rival of yours, but the Padres are such a better team than the Rockies. You shouldn't be losing this series to them and then beating the Braves. And they dominated the Braves too. It wasn't really a close series, at least in my opinion. But the Padres playing some Jekyll and Hyde baseball, but still playing pretty solid and good enough to be at least in the top 10 this week. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, we have the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 26-22. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games, so they aren't playing that well, but usually once I get down to the last couple of teams here in the top 10, it gets pretty tight there because not a lot of teams are playing that great as well. But the Chicago Cubs lost the series to the Braves and the Pittsburgh Pirates this week, so didn't have a very good week. But Shota Imanaga, he still continues his domination with 5 wins, a .84 ERA, which he lowered already, and he's just having a fantastic, solid start to his MLB career, and also has 58 strikeouts as well. Then you have Cody Bellinger, who came back from injury, and he's been on fire ever since. He's batting a .263 with 7 home runs and 22 RBI on the season. And rounding out today's show, there was a big boxing fight this weekend, and it was against Alexander Usyk and Tyson Fury, and I'm a huge Tyson Fury fan, so I was hoping he was going to get the win, but unfortunately ended up split decision, and it was not in Fury's favor. And gotta say, as a Tyson Fury fan, this was one of the most shocking fights I've seen from Tyson Fury, because I've never seen him look so owned in certain points. I mean, it was a very, very close matchup, but basically Usyk knocked him down, which does not happen to Fury. But there was a few points in the match there where Usyk really got the upper hand over Fury and just pummeled him. And there were a few points where I was like, wow, Fury's about to get knocked out. And I kind of felt like the ref stopped it a little bit too early at a couple times when Fury was getting just pummeled. But because it's boxing and you just got to let him take the hit sometimes. And these are big ass dudes. This is heavyweights. They know what they're doing. But Fury, he was getting, in my opinion, he was just getting tossed around the ring. And I wasn't shocked that he ended up losing the split decision, because it was close. Basically, the only reason why Usyk won this one is because he knocked down Fury. But it was a big knockdown. And he really, in my opinion, I think he owned Fury for the most part. And it was just one of the most shocking Tyson Fury fights, because I've never seen him get owned the way he got owned in this one. But looks like he's going to do a rematch, of course, because he doesn't want to go out like that. But Usyk becomes the first undisputed heavyweight in 24 years. And so congratulations to him. And it is also the first loss that Tyson Fury has ever suffered in his entire career. So that's another big, not only are you the first undisputed heavyweight in 24 years, but you took out Tyson Fury, who is one of the best boxers, not only in boxing today, but in boxing history. Tyson Fury is a beast. And so to own him like that too, because he did in the 9th round, he knocked his ass down and he was pummeling his ass for quite a bit there. And like I said, there were some points where I was looking at Tyson Fury and I was just like, whoa, I have never seen you look like this in the ring ever. But like I said, there's probably going to be a rematch. And so maybe Fury will step up for that one and knock his ass out. But either way, it was a good fight overall, top-notch fight. But Fury, I have never seen his ass get owned like that, and I am a huge Tyson Fury fan. But shout out to Alexander Usyk on the huge win in his boxing career. And on that note, you can always go to my website, Sports Talk, or go to my website, katietropp.net. Hit on the tab Sports Talk with Tropp, and at the top of the page there you will see a banner that says Sports Talk with Tropp's preferred sports books. You could click on that and find out who I'm partnered with. If you are into sports gambling at all, which I know a lot of people are, you can participate, of course, in participating states only. But yeah, if you want to gamble your life away, you could do that at katietropp.net. All right, y'all. We do have a special bonus episode on Wednesday as well, since I was just talking about boxing. It's the GOATs Part 3. It's going to be the Top 5 Greatest UFC Men Fighters, Top 5 Greatest Women UFC Fighters, and then the Top 10 Greatest Boxers of All Time. So that's kind of funny. I ended on the Tyson Fury getting knocked out note. But look out for that on Wednesday, and we will have a brand new episode on Friday.